The tech question of the week may be Surface or iPad, as Microsoft enters the tablet computer market dominated by Apple. But as Federal News Radio's Jason Miller is about to tell us, there's another question that agencies should be asking themselves. Are smartphones or tablets really any different than your desktop computers or laptops when it comes to cybersecurity? Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So, Jason, over the next few months, agencies are going to be getting some guidance on securing smartphones and tablet devices. What documents are coming to help them?
Well, there's actually two major ones. Now, one will be released for public comment later this summer, and the Homeland Security Department is developing what they call a mobile security reference architecture. Now, let me stop here before anyone gets their eyes glazed over because they hear the word architecture. This actually is a very important document, and Sean Donnellan is the program manager for the National Cybersecurity Division at DHS, and he says DHS is leading this interagency effort.
We've been working with across the government with dozens of agencies developing reference architectures, maintaining this concept of shared services. Rather than every single agency having to go out and develop their own way of doing things, we get 30, 40 agencies together. They develop a reference architecture, which is kind of a halfway architecture. It's about 60% done. Each agency will go on and customize it to their own need, but it gets the common things out there.
Now, Donnellan says that architecture, or what they sometimes call a modernization blueprint, that will be out this summer for public comment, and then they'll be finalized as things go forward. The second document is more of your typical security guidance from the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Ron Ross is a senior security specialist at NIST. He says the NIST publication 853 is going through revision number 4, and it will address mobile threats.
We're looking at a very significant threat space out there. The adversaries are working 24/7 to find out new ways to compromise our critical systems. And so at NIST, our job, again, is to try to bring those safeguards and countermeasures to the community so they can pick and choose those controls, the risk management framework, things they need to have to be successful for the mission to go forward. And our newest publication that we were updating, the 853, which is our control catalog, has about 250 new controls in it based upon the new threats that we see today. Now, the customers don't implement all of those controls, but the important thing from our perspective is to give senior leaders the appropriate choices so they can make those good risk-based decisions.
Now, NIST released the fourth revision in February. Comments closed in April. And NIST says the final version of 853, Rev 4, as they call it, should be out in actually July. Now, Ron Ross says the guidance is trying to help agencies manage the growing complexities of networks and systems. I mean, if you think about it, before it was, you know, just mainframes, which Tom remembers from his, you know, childhood. And then there was client-server setup.
I built them with a Heathkit.
I think you did. And then client-server setup, and then we moved to, you know, mobile and cloud now. And then, but there's all these legacy systems that are still there. So what Ron Ross is saying, agencies need to reduce the network footprint, integrate cyber into the business processes better, and therefore all this is more complex. And that's why the security documents are getting bigger and need to be updated. Now, Ross says without, you know, agencies will need to make what they call good trade-off decisions. Just like anyone would make a trade-off for price, functionality, timing, or other parts of a typical project, security has got to be part of that trade-off in the very beginning. When you say security, what's your risk base? And then what can you accept and what can't you accept? And that's part of what the second document's going to address.
It seems like agencies are having trouble with the idea that these mobile devices are not that much different from desktop computers or notebook computers. In fact, if you add in the new Microsoft Surface, that practically is a PC, Intel processor running Windows 8.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think the panel from yesterday's FCA Bethesda Breakfast seemed to agree as well that, you know, agencies are having the trouble getting their arms around the fact that mobile devices shouldn't be different than anything else. Now, but as Ron Ross says, agencies shouldn't, because smartphones and tablets really are powerful computers in their own right.
We need to be able to apply the same controls that we have for our other devices on these mobile devices. Now, that's a challenge, because today we're not doing that to the fullest extent. So you have to ask the basic question, and this is where, you know, NIST is doing some work with DHS and exploring some of the new technologies. What kind of controls can an Android operating system or an Apple operating system support? What kinds of things, in the basic things that we would expect of any device or system, identity management, identification authentication, access control, encryption, all of those core fundamental things that we do in cyber. How are those applied in these new technologies? So we have to do more work in understanding the technologies and how those fundamentals are applied.
Now, like PCs, smartphones, tablets provide a direct path for attack against any agency network and any agency system, and that's where the similarities are between a PC, a laptop, and these other devices. But Ross says agencies need to understand the risks and how to protect them, and then explain those risks to the agency business leaders in a way that they can then understand them. Now, what's interesting about this conversation is, okay, if you have a smartphone or a tablet, and the goal here is to treat this just like you would treat it like a PC or a laptop, then how does secure ID management come into play, HSPD-12? And I ask this question to the group because I think what you've seen over the past is the Defense Department, for instance, has struggled to use their version of the secure ID card called the Common Access Card with a mobile device. They've had this Bluetooth reader that had to be sit in your pocket, and I've talked to many people at DOD who said it just didn't work well. NIST also is updating their HSPD-12 guidance called FIPS 201 to address mobile computing. So, again, ask the panel this question. And, in fact, Ron Ross said, it all just comes back to the idea of risk tolerance. If an agency deploys a device and decides that the employee does not have to use their HSPD-12 card to log on, then that's a risk that they can live with. But let's step back for a second, think about it in this perspective. If you're not supposed to treat PCs and tablets and smartphones and laptops as any different, well, there's an OMB requirement that all agencies use their HSPD-12 cards to do logical access or log on to their network. So that's already they're treating those things differently. So I think this is one of those questions that OMB is probably going to have to weigh in on over time. Now, the other area where there is starting to see some recognition that mobile devices are very similar to PCs is in the idea of protecting the data. It's all about the data. We've been hearing that for years. Donald says the important idea that mobile security reference architecture will highlight is that the data is more important than the device.
Protecting information is even harder than protecting systems. We don't really understand what the issues are. And you brought up encryption. Encryption is also given as one of those things that will solve the problem. But encryption is really hard to do right, as we keep seeing over and over again. So as we move forward, I think the concept of mobile or desktop or laptop or mainframe is going to go away, and it's going to be more about mission and information. But we're not there yet. That's going to be, again, a cultural evolution.
Now, NIST Ross says, however, agencies also need to understand the devices and their limitations in order to secure them. So he says, yes, it's all about the data, but don't forget about the devices as well.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Now, Jason, beyond security, what is the biggest challenge agencies continue to face in using these mobile devices?
Well, I think it's the two we've heard time and again, cultural issues, the change in culture, and then how to make sure that the businesses of the government and the agencies that relates back to those, that you're using the mobile devices not because they're cool or because they're neat, but because they matter, because they help you do your job better. And the need for culture is something, I think mobile and cloud is going down a well-worn path. Employees must adjust once again to the latest, greatest technology and how they work. For some, it's going to be easy. Others, obviously, it's going to take time. Darren Ash is the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's chief information officer. He says over the last few months, NRC's program managers actually are starting to understand the role of mobile and other technologies that can play, and the culture is beginning to shift.
I think the best things that have been happening recently at our agency are the conversations, frankly, over the last couple of months, seeing the light bulbs go on as to why does this system need to have financial management data? Why isn't it strictly within our core financial system? Why don't we have a single authoritative data source? And again, using these technologies to be able to appropriately share information. When we develop and modernize another system, getting the business side and having the business side recognize all the different interdependencies, the impacts of modernizing this, what it has on this system, and this system, and realizing the interconnections, realizing the information sharing that goes on. Again, I'm just staying within our own agency. Getting them to have and lead that conversation, realizing if we want to modernize, if we want to design these things right, they start to lead the conversation versus me. That's where I think we start to get that success.
Now, what's interesting about this whole conversation yesterday is what Gwen Costin actually said. She's the Director of Digital Services Innovation Center at the General Services Administration, and she basically said, patience, have patience. The implementation of mobile computing will take time. We're only going to start to see the impact over the next 3, 6, 9, even 12 months. And at the same time, agencies are going to, they need to be bold and try different approaches, but patients. So I thought that was